The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 35th episode of ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
I am so glad that you've joined us here today. You know why? Because this is the only podcast that reviews reviews, and it's the only one that's funny while you're doing it. And I think the people are here for some comedy. What do you think?
I would agree to. I would yes.
I would yes. I would yes to that. Do you want to start this one out?
Yes, I do.
Give it to me.
I have a Goodreads review for the book Pretty Little Wife by Darby Kane, which is, just a lovely name.
That is nice.
This review is written by Nicole Birchie, and it was written November 14th, 2020. So this is recent. Mm-hmm. Nicole writes, bear in mind, this is a bit of a long one, but I think it'll get us in a good mood.
I'm ready.
Nicole writes, around page 188, I decided I simply must start writing this review to capture my evidence that a human woman did not write this book. It must have been an algorithm. Between many grammatical errors, misspelled words, and a litany of overworked metaphors that add nothing to the experience of reading this novel, I am convinced my theory on a bot being the true author is the only logical explanation. Call it Occam's razor or an outright denial that this author has a multiple published works. But that is where this read has left me emotionally. Below is my list of the most grievous offenses slash some mid-read thoughts, complete with page numbers if y'all want to follow along. I would personally recommend gouging your eyes out instead.
I've got my book right here. I'm ready.
98, quote, Christina shook her hair. That has to be a typo, right? Disappointed to see this was published. By Harper Collins, nonetheless. It is downhill from here. How many times is she going to beat it over my head that the main characters are all, quote, broken in some way? Yes, we could all use therapy. Being cold and unemotional due to childhood trauma is not enough of a personality to carry a narrative. 127, 144, 188. For characters who have many times over mentioned their intelligence and skill at verbal sparring, they are really bad at verbal sparring. My condolences to anyone who has had this author as their trial attorney. 146. Why does the word fidgeting appear in spades every time the investigator is interviewing a witness or suspect? Does this author not know how to use a thesaurus? 99, 146, 232. Update. In the mid-200s, she diversified to flinching and shifting, too. Please tell me the pseudonym is also concealing the author's gender. I refuse to believe that a woman would write the following in this year of our Lord 2020. Quote, only a man would find solace in such flimsy excuses at a time like this. Women were programmed to fight to be believed. Barf face. Ugh. So gender normy. Who the frick constructs a metaphor like that? Quote, it's almost as if he'd been emotionally running and had finally fallen. quote, she turned the alarm system being back on for one reason. Is not a proper sentence, right? Am I going crazy? On page 193, let it be known that I have lost all ability to determine if the author is building sexual tension or a case for sexual harassment between characters. At this point, I am reading out of stubbornness. 299, shifting and fidgeting, that's all these characters do. 351, between all the cheeseball lines of, you shouldn't be in here, story of her life, or, well, she didn't have an alibi, but she had her attention now. I'm waiting for the dun-dun cue Law and Order opening theme song. Ending my commentary here because the rest may give away the twist at the end. But man, that was a rough journey. 2 stars because the idea of someone killing someone, staging a suicide, and then being thwarted when the body disappears was enough to pull me in and read 400 pages of enlarged text, wide margins too. Otherwise, a huge swing and a miss for me. 2 stars, which Goodreads also classifies as, it was okay.
Hey, good on her for getting through it.
Yeah.
And the book may not be good, but the review about it certainly was.
So nice. I got so much entertainment.
Yeah, the I guess a couple of things struck me, but this one is at the front of my lizard brain in such a way I have to get it out. Oh, when she said the characters have like saying "do not be in here" syndrome, all I could picture, I think it was a Vine originally, an internet video. I know it as the flower kid.
Okay.
The video, it's a first-person view of a mom or a dad, I would assume. They, like, have the door cracked to the playroom, and they open it slowly, and the kid has one hand pulling his little kid undies forward as though Tommy Pickles is about to, you know, pull his screwdriver out.
Right.
For those who hasn't seen Rugrats, that's not an innuendo. Tommy Pickles keeps a screwdriver in his diaper. Anyway. In his diapy, thank you. But in his other hand, the kid has upturned a bag of flour, and he is flouring himself, not just his intended target, but of course his face, his body, in the entire room. And he looks at the camera, and he says, "Go away, go away." And then screams. Anyway, great Vine. Look it up. I'm sure it's easy to find on YouTube. So yeah, the main character or whoever just walked into a bunch of rooms and all the characters were just looked at the door slowly, covered in flour. You're not supposed to be in here.
My lizard brain went to playing Perfect Dark for the N64 and all of the maybe 5 to 10 lines that bad guys have pre-programmed.
Yeah.
Which consists of, "Get her. She shouldn't be in here. Ah! You're mine now." Just those awful, stupid things.
I think if this book was written by a bot, then all the side characters have to be considered NPCs, correct? So that
yeah, they're dumb AI. Lines up.
And the what did she say about the dialogue? Can you run that one back for me? It was in the middle somewhere. For characters that are supposed to be great at verbal sparring.
They suck.
They sure do suck at verbal sparring. That's right.
man, verbal sparring is so exciting to read.
That's like an Aaron Sorkin movie, right? He just writes down two intelligent people arguing and then puts it in the hand of good actors and puts a camera there.
And you're like, yes!
It is incredibly enthralling.
You wipe your forehead because it's sweaty when they part ways.
Right. Oh. Like, oh, that was rough. Yeah, when Steve Jobs is just a total dick to his lifelong friend, Steve Wozniak, in the movie Steve Jobs. Yeah, that hurts, man. That is a punch. A punch in the face. Kudos, but Fassbender and Rogan for dropping that. But yeah, it
didn't happen here.
Sorkin can do that, right? Because he's incredibly intelligent. I think in an interview I heard him say, I'm not that smart, but I've been lucky enough to be around smart people my whole life, and I just write down how they talk. So this author isn't very smart and hasn't been around very many smart people. She watches Opie and Anthony and thinks, man, look at this firecracker banter. This verbal sparring.
But I'll be lying if I don't love that metaphor. It was almost as if he'd been running, emotionally running, and had finally fallen.
That's, you know, how many, in any given marathon, how many people do you think are not exactly running, they're emotionally running?
Probably half of them.
Yeah, they are being fueled by pure emotion. Pure, and I wouldn't say emotions of determination, strength,
no.
Happiness, sadness, torture,
fear.
They are running from something. You see those joggers out there on the path up through the parks? They're not having a good time. They're running from something. Obesity.
That's logical.
I was going to make a list, but I think that's that's the start and the end of it.
Well, you want to start something new for us here?
Yeah, I suppose I'd love to spend more time with this lovely review, but Let me get us to something. An awful review here, huh? This review from Amazon is for the 1998 film Godzilla, starring Matthew Broderick.
Good old Matthew Brody.
Go, Matt. Vehicular manslaughter extraordinaire.
Celebrity bucket of shame.
Yeah.
Number one or two. He's got such a cute face. I can't hold against him.
And honestly, I'm a huge Godzilla fan, so I hate Godzilla 1998. But Matthew Broderick is the highlight of that movie. He's the only likable thing.
Dumb hat and all.
Yep, a little backwards. Oh, man, he does wear that backward newsy hat, doesn't he?
It's
the 90s, baby. Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Rosie O'Donnell was such a trendsetter.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Jay West titles his review, "He Looks Mad," and writes, "I think we need 4K and Blu-ray more often because we don't want to buy another 4K TV and 4K player. Way too expensive. But Godzilla was so cool in 4K only on Blu-ray. The sound was way better than the DVD. And the picture was way better than DVD. It has no special features, but that's okay with me, as long as the movie was in it. I do like those two great songs on the soundtrack, The Wallflower Heroes and Puff Daddy, Come With Me. They are my favorite songs. I can watch those music videos on YouTube anyway. Godzilla rules, 5 stars.
I am so glad he told me which songs they were, because I had no idea.
You know, I've seen this movie. I had no idea Puff Daddy Come With Me was on it.
No.
What scene does Puff Daddy Come With Me happen in Godzilla? Is Godzilla have headphones, little earbuds in?
Probably.
And he's listening to a soundtrack that aren't a privy to? Or it's a she. Godzilla is a she in this movie.
Yeah, lays the babies.
As they say, she laid the babies. There's that famous line. It zooms in on Matthew Broderick, and he looks at the camera and says, "She laid the babies."
What was said about no special features. I like it when it's just. Just the movie.
Yeah. No special features, but that's how I like it.
You're easy to pleasey.
Easy to pleasey over here, Jay. No kidding. You have to be a pretty dead-brained easy pleaser to enjoy this Godzilla flick. What a mess, folks. Just not Godzilla is always the main thing. And the CG does not stand up. Man, no. I'm now remembering the last scene of the movie is a hard setup for a sequel. I don't think there's been a failure that hard set up a sequel any harder since, like, the ending of Elf.
Did Elf set up?
Yeah, he, like, left, but it was very much, he'll be back. I think the series ends on a to be continued.
Does it? Famously, yes.
That continue has not continued to this day.
It's kind of like that dark universe.
Yeah. There's a lot of cats out there that need to be eaten. We need Elf. Because Godzilla's not doing a great cat-eating job. I've seen all his movies. I don't think he eats one cat.
No, the cat probably scares him, right?
There's King Caesar. He kind of looks like a big, dumb cat. every Godzilla should have a Puff Daddy song in the soundtrack. Forget the iconic, like, da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun. We need, if you want to come and take a ride with me.
Yeah, that would help those, every Godzilla film stand the test of time, for sure.
Those giant monsters.
For sure.
Only if they're on Blu-ray, though.
Blu-ray. Better than DVD.
Better than DVD. You heard it here first, folks. Blu-ray's better than DVD. I know it's tough to believe. Even if it doesn't have any special features. What kind of special features do you want on your 1998 Matthew Broderick Godzilla, Matt?
I want Matthew Broderick behind the scenes talking about his hat.
Yeah, so on this movie, I thought I could add a little flair to my character, so I found this hat. Rosie O'Donnell loaned me her hat, and I couldn't say no.
I when I'm walking around the set and just, wow, look at this car's upside down. You know... Cameron, your dad's going to be pissed. That's a little Ferris Bueller joke for, everybody out there.
That's right. God, you know, Godzilla, Godzilla's so high strung, if you put some coal up her ass, the next day you'd have a diamond. Man, isn't that such a great scene in Godzilla when Godzilla's trying to stay home sick and...
He'll keep calling.
Yeah, when Godzilla levels half of Chicago because Matthew Broderick broke his Godzilla's dad's car.
John Hughes had a way with teenage years.
Yeah, got there in the scene where Godzilla is leveling the town. She kicks over the Chicago Art Museum and looks down, and there's that image of the old timey park, that painting,
the pointillism painting. Yeah, Day in the Park.
Thank you, a Day in the Park. And Godzilla looks at it. And it zooms in on Godzilla. And then, yeah, it zooms in on the lady. And it zooms in on Godzilla. And Godzilla's moved. And what a moment in film.
It was a metaphor. John Hughes was trying to say, your teenage years are monstrous.
We got to get the hell out of here after that.
Okay. We forgot to mention, this is our, quote, kind of Valentine's episode. That's why I had a kind of lovey, a book about a wife, even though she kills her husband and stages it as a suicide.
And that's why I brought a Godzilla 1998 review.
Well, be prepared to be wowed. My review is for my love, my baby girl, my Prius. The license plate starts with BG, so it's baby girl.
Oh,
I have from Edmunds.com review for the 2018 Prius. Harold Campbell, his review reads exactly like I imagine he sounds. Harold Campbell titles his review, "I'm old. This Prius 4, best I have owned ever." Period. space exclamation point. "It's not a race car, but it goes plenty quick enough. We had a 2017 Eco, was in a multi-auto wreck. Not the auto's fault, it was totaled. Can't believe no broken bones. We had replacement coverage. Went out and got a 2018 4. Has all the safety stuff, and it works getting 54 mpg. Did a little better with the Eco, knew that was the case, but wanted to upgrade to the bells and whistles. Very comfortable ride. I have had many autos in my long life. This is my fave. 5 stars.
Just a man in his car.
Just a rambling man in his car.
Just a rambling man, because no one else will listen to this bastard, except his Prius.
There is minimal punctuation. It's just like these are his unfiltered thoughts about the car. I can't believe no broken bones.
Just stream of consciousness, your love for a car. I took a lot of creative writing classes in college. The writing exercises were not unlike that. Think of something you love and just write. Just keep writing.
I wrote a couple of ekphrasises on art pieces, which were very stream of consciousness describing and almost like writing, daydreaming. But I have a second review for the 2018 Prius.
Oh, no.
And my man, Edward Rocha, gets right to the point. He titles his review, "Last Auto I Will Ever Need." And he writes, "Go to Toyota Marin and get everything you want in a new Toyota. It is actually like driving a computer. 5 stars.
Oh, man. I want to drive a computer.
I can tell you, it's pretty rad.
I mean, oof.
I do feel a little bit like the Terminator when I'm driving in my Prius, because it has affected my style of driving, because I want to... It's like gamified fuel efficiency. I want to get as good mileage as I can. And people like pass me, but then I'm like Michael Myers. I come over the hill. They're looking in their rearview mirror and I'm just easing on down. Easing on down, feathering the brakes so I can recharge that battery a little bit as I stop at the red light right behind him. I'm like, I'm still here.
Didn't get too far, did you? You're the your emotional status of when you're driving your Prius is of the tortoise, of the titular tortoise, of the tortoise and the hare. You're mm-hmm. embodying it. But it's as though a tortoise had a battery pack in its body, where if yes. it was not steady, it would die.
Yeah.
But when you said, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm driving the Terminator, I imagined your front windshield had a one-way heads-up display and some sort of crosshair reticle zooming in on the other cars and giving you data about the drivers.
If only.
And also whether or not they were a threat and if you should murder them. On site.
Yeah.
Much like the turn of Terminator.
Not a threat. Not a threat.
Your Prius comes out of nowhere naked, grabs another car Bill by Paxson. The throat, takes its leather jacket. Hasta la vista.
Baby. Yeah. I mean, if a Prius wasn't cool enough on its own, a Prius in a leather jacket is cool to the bones.
Big aviators. I think that's Cars. We just wrote the movie, Pixar's Cars.
Cars, but cool.
Cars, but cool. Can you imagine cool cars? I think the guy who wrote that first review can.
Yeah, he can't.
He can't. That's the only thing he imagines. His whole brain. You know, when it's those like those flat pictures and it's just an outline of a brain and it's sectioned off saying mm-hmm. like what you value and think about. His is just cars. His is just Prius.
I love it.
I got a little quickie here, I think.
Okay, quick us up then.
I got a little quickie here, I think. This is from Amazon for Command brand small wire hooks. Command hooks, as they are known.
Yes.
Colloquially. User Trayton writes, whoops. Great strength. Use for stockings. Took down less than a month later, and this happened. Even though description said this wouldn't happen. Do not buy if not permanent. I took off very carefully, 3 different times, same result. And it accompanied is a picture of a small discoloration of paint in the wall.
Oh my goodness. I was expecting like the paint to be stripped, like that classic dorm room moment of terror. the paint came off the wall. And you just, get yourself a
strip, a discoloration, debatable. It's somewhere in between, I guess. But great strength. Do you want great strength or do you want to take it off the wall easy, Trayton?
You can't have it. You can't have it both ways.
Right. Maybe Trayton is actually a pseudonym for traitor because he is turning against these command hooks that held your Christmas stocking so strong.
You know, I think the real issue is that Trayton only kept the stockings up for less than a month. That's karma. Keep them up a month and a half. Keep them up 2 months.
Keep them up all year. Just pass little presents around to your family. Who doesn't love a stocking stuffer?
You never need to worry about discolorations on your walls.
Who said stocking stuffers were for the holiday season only? I'm trying to get stocking stuffers year-round. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to get my stocking stuffed, if you know what I mean.
Yes, Easter eggs.
Easter eggs. Godzilla eggs. Matthew Broderick. Stuff me up. Oh, man, we talked about how... hold on. Rewind. We talked about how Matthew Broderick committed vehicular manslaughter, and then we talked about a Terminator Prius.
Whoa.
And we didn't put it together. Well, here it is, folks. Matthew Broderick driving a Terminator Prius, the bit.
And that's how they came up with Inspector Gadget.
Now here's an idea.
Oh, boy.
Inspector Gadget versus Godzilla. Godzilla versus Kong looks pretty good from a Godzilla fan perspective. Godzilla versus Inspector Gadget with Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Name it Broderick's Revenge on the box office.
I'd go.
Where's Inspector Gadget? Is he a New York character?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Godzilla loves to fuck New York. I want Godzilla one frame, Godzilla about to tear down the Empire State Building, and then into frame, helicopter hat, Matthew Broderick. Except instead of Fedora. He has his backwards newsy cap. All right. That was the sequel. That was the sequel they never got to make. You'll pay for that, Godzilla. Go gadget. Nuclear oxygen destroyer. There it is. Yes, we had a wild winding road to get there, but we got there.
With those images in mind, let us go to break.
Yes, please. We got a special treat on the other side.
It's tasty.
Tasty. See you there.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Welcome to the second half of the episode, everybody. We've got something different for you today. We're ordering off a different menu because we've got a guest, a friend, someone wonderful for you. We've got Pete from the Grocery Gamblers podcast with us. It's just some other silly podcast just like ours.
Yep. But yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
Oh, super glad
absolutely.
To have you.
Absolutely. Our listeners, we've teased your show a little bit, but they might not be cool enough to look up everything we talk about. So tell them.
They're definitely lazy. The fans around here barely call them that. tell these lazy fans about about your great podcast.
All right, well, thanks, guys. I'm one of the three hosts of this podcast called The Grocery Gamblers, and our whole thing is that it's a podcast and it's food specific related. So, you know, obviously the audio format is a great tool for that. But it's so it's a food podcast where the premise was that each episode has a theme, and we try foods related to this specific theme. And originally, our whole thing was that we were buying everything from this discount grocery chain called the Grocery Outlet. And mm-hmm. how we describe that store is that it's basically the used food store. Like that's where brands or things that you know, established brands, when they try new items or new flavors and they don't work, and they are still, like, you know, shelf stable, but they're not selling, that's where they go, is they go to that kind of store. And granted, this type of, you know, food outlet type of store isn't just specific to this one. I know there's like multiple all over the country, but yeah, but that was our thing, is that it started off as a text chain between myself and my two buddies. And it literally was just us just texting each other being like, look at this fucking weird shit that I found. look at, one of the first things that started off between us was we found some Mortal Kombat branded beer. We were like, what? And it was, so we were like, okay, so like myself and my co-host Sean, we like got some. We got Scorpion and Sub-Zero's beers. I remember Scorpion's was an IPA and Sub-Zero's was something else. I frankly don't remember. But the bottom line is that it was good. And this was like a 24-ounce beer, like a good beer for like $3. So we were like, oh shit, like we gotta go
spread and,
like,
the word. We gotta tell people about this.
Yeah, we gotta tell people about this. And like as time has gone by, we've seen all kinds of other wacky items. You know, like another thing that kind of started it for us was at one point we saw that Sbarro, the mall pizza chain, had a wine, and we were like,
I would love to try it.
Honestly, not bad. Not bad. The packaging or just like the idea behind the item was just so wild that we're like, well, man, I gotta give, you know, I gotta give, you know, spam you know, like at least the X factor here for trying to make this
pumpkin spice spam.
Oh boy, yeah, that was a that not bad. Honestly, it wasn't. Let me retreat there a little bit. It was above average. It was totally fine, but it tasted like chicken apple sausage. That's the best way to describe it. But yeah, so that's that was our thing. It's that, you know, pre-COVID, each episode was kind of like a contest, and then we were supposed to have like a season finale that was supposed to be some, you know, Iron Chef style kind of. But then, you know, COVID happened, and obviously, you know, we like can't be in person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically shifted gears. Like, we're still, you know, we're still putting out episodes. We're still buying groceries from the store. But now we're like, you know, we're kind of just, we just open it up. Like, if we just see stuff, we're just getting it now and going from there.
We're going free for all these days.
Wild, wild west.
That's what I love. I like that.
Yeah, it's been fun so far. But at the same time, you know, I made the joke before I started recording. I'm like, oh man, I'm nice. I'm happy to be doing this tonight because I don't have to like eat anything poison tonight. You know, kind of.
That's so. The thing, folks. You get to listen to them try this stuff, and it can be very cathartic to hear them suffer or enjoy something. It, on either end of the scale, when you hear somebody just experiencing that,
that makes me curious as to what end of the scale you brought for us tonight.
Yeah.
I hear you have some sort of review format, perhaps. That's the only language we speak.
Review format. So I got a few things here. So this one, I am outright plugging my own damn show here, but let me
do it.
Yeah, come on. So here we go. So this is from the most recent one we've released. So hold on. Let me share my screen so you guys can see this.
Oh.
What ep you dropping in this? What ep is it?
This is the most. This is this week. So this is from our Frat Food episode. I want to talk about some reviews for Planters and Natural Light Beer flavored peanuts. The birthday party edition, man. This, so we obviously weren't given this. We bought this. This stuff was pure fucking garbage. There's no, like we all of us hated it. It didn't taste like peanuts. It didn't taste anything like a beer. It was, this is one of those things where I tell people, yeah, laugh at it, but like, don't, if you buy this, like, you need a beaten, you know, kind of situation. It's like, which I bought it, so I need a beaten, you know. If I go on by that logic, sorry, hold on, let me,
I can't wrap my head around it. Peanuts and beer go together, but not literally together. I mean,
did they get beer nuts? Like, they heard about beer nuts and didn't look into how to make them?
That's the best thing I can say, man. Is it just
when you said natural light, I thought those were the descriptors. It's natty light. It's natty light flavored.
Yeah, this is natty light flavored.
Oh, that changes everything.
By the way,
peanut.
Oh, because he's
an alcoholic.
So he turned 21. They gave him a little frat boy hat. No frat boy is holding I'm 21 years old balloons at his fucking kegger.
With his all white Converse.
What are those, Mr. Peanut?
Only girls wear those.
I don't even want to say it. Those are like Payless Shoe Source knockoffs, dude. Those are, you know.
They don't have the black stripe.
And he's got a face on him like, oh boy, I'm going to have a couple brewskis tonight, ho ho.
I'm going to get me a couple of natties in me and just have to pee a lot, you know. I don't know how you guys are.
So these are foul, right?
Yeah, these are disgusting. These are super nasty.
I would give it a 5 out of 5. It's a success because if it's foul and almost unedible, then it's just like Natty Light.
Yeah. It's and oh man, Natty is. I don't know how you guys are about this and what your opinion is, but Natty is not good. Natty Light is not good. That's you know what you drink when you're. You know, when you don't have a lot of money and, you know, it's just a mistake. And this
there's better like piss flavored cheap beers. I'm a PBR guy as far as, you know, piss cheap beers go.
PBR is
something else.
PBR. No, I mean, well, it's just one of the things. Any of those like all those light beers, it's one of those things where, like, again, I don't know how you guys are about this. Like, I'm more of like, man, just go for it or don't even bother. It's like with the light beers, it's like, I'm just going to drink water or I'm going to just go drink a beer, you know, kind of thing.
Where I'm at with that is I really like craft beers and heavier beers and better beers, but there's a certain vibe to those cheaper beers. Like if I'm at a basement party in like a Wisconsin suburb, I don't want to be drinking any hoity-toity crap. Give me some PBRs. Like let's do this vibe. I'm a vibe guy, is what I'm trying to say.
I feel that vibe. I get it.
I don't think these peanuts vibe with any sort of party I've ever been to.
Yeah, if you show up to a party with this, you would get promptly kicked out. They'd just be like, "Dude, you need to leave. Like, we don't want to hang out with you."
What are you holding? Natter Light favorite. Leave, dude. See you later.
Yeah, this was pure trash, and it's like it was so. And you can see the enlarged photo here. First off, I know these are peanuts, but these look like nuts, like male nuts. but the best way to describe these is that these things were super candied, and they are just
candied with like gross piss beer flavor.
Yeah,
it was pretty another, damn stinky.
Another, so the picking Natty Light as the partner for this was the first. Making them non-alcoholic was the first miss. Making them non-alcoholic was the second strike. If they tasted nasty, but they were actually boozy nuts, I would pound the whole tin just to fucking go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's go to some reviews here because there's a couple. There's two, and I like these are right away, right off the bat here. So this 5-star one, no beer, lol. Honestly, you don't taste beer. You don't taste beer to me. It tastes like grape jelly on a peanut.
Oh, 5 stars. No, wouldn't that make you think like, these are past date. If I tasted grape jelly, I'd be like, I shouldn't be eating these.
I do have to say from trying these recently is that the candiness of this was so weird that I honestly I don't think that's too far away from like this grape jelly kind of thing. It was, but then so that's the again no beer lol, like that's the 5-star one. So let's go to this 1-star one. So you got 1-star, save your children, don't buy. Pod, I love by the way, I love misspellings on reviews. Pod, meaning paid, $4 at grocery store for this. In my long life, I have never tasted anything this disgusting. Did anyone at Planters taste these? 5 question marks. They taste like automatic transmission fluid. Eat a few, and it takes a week to brush the foul taste away. They are that bad. I even tried washing them in hot water. Did no good. No. And then pitching them in, in a landfill leak-proof bag. Please, Amazon, take this listing down.
That review was brought to us by Jimbo, by the way.
Yeah, Jimbo, exactly. Which, again, misspellings, one word name. His one word name is Jimbo.
But even despite the misspellings, despite the stereotypically uneducated type name, his review's hitting. It sounds like he's giving us the right information here.
This is very appropriate. I like ended up pitching them in a landfill leak-proof bag. Like
he doesn't want that.
Like what a kick to the nuts, dude! Like what a kick to the nuts.
He's a, even though he can't spell, this dude's a wordsmith. This dude's a poet.
He's like, a smart that's a guy. Good
he that's doesn't a good want punchline.
The glaze to like ooze into the water table and affect rivers and lakes all around.
He doesn't want any Natty Light peanut children growing out of the landfill to come and like wear backwards baseball caps and make everyone smell bad.
Honestly, guys, you know what? I'm gonna click on helpful. I feel like that's helpful.
That is a good one.
That deserves helpful. That.
These two
are the, like, I looked through this last night, and these two were the best, because I was like, you want to talk about a perfect 1-star to 5-star just contrast. This is
dead by on. The way, there's only 9 ratings, but I'm seeing that these have a 4 out of 5 average.
Ugh.
What is it? This is what's wrong with America. So glad you shared with us. I'm almost upset that I didn't find those reviews first.
This was one where I want to say, you know, I'm pretty sure like I found it, but then within a couple minutes, like with the text chain with my buddies, you know, they were like, oh fuck, I just saw something about this. And it was like, well, let's try to get it. And here's the thing. This is saying that they sell this for $4 at Walmart. we paid, I think it was like $1.20 for this. So even that was, you know, $1.19 wow. too much, you know?
No, yeah.
I agree with Jimbo here. Did anyone at Planters taste these? Because I don't think they did. This is a theme that we have on our show.
Professional tasters were like, Natty Light, no thanks. Like everyone turned it down. They're like, guess we just got a ship.
Drink while Planters, working.
Are Planters and Natty Light owned by the same company? Because that's what I thought is. I'm just like, is this some weird like intercompany cross promotion where they're just like, we got the essence of Natty Light and we sprinkle this crack dust on these peanuts, you know, kind of thing.
The guy comes out from the back alley with a bag of hobo piss and he's like, I got the essence of Natty Light. Let's throw him on some peanuts, boys.
Oh, that is a bad image you put in my head.
Well, let's get away from that.
Yeah.
What else you got? You impressed me. Those are great reviews. What's the next? Give them
so
to
this
me.
One. Okay. So I got a couple food ones. Then I got one I wanted to kind of end on here. It's not food related, but this is, I feel like we would all get a big kick out of that one.
Ooh.
So I mentioned the Sbarro wine. I'm about to show you what it looks like.
There it is. There's Sbarro himself.
Wow. Yep. Well, okay, this one isn't really that funny, but it's just kind of like, you know, to be honest, the fruit isn't bad for an inexpensive red. It was a gag gift from some friends who know I'm a bit wine snobbish. As expected, the structure is simple, body extremely light, and finish forgettable. But it's fun to drink from a screw top pizza label bottle every once in a while. Cheers. All right.
Not super funny, but yeah, we appreciate a well-written review around here. All right.
Yeah.
That perspective is valuable.
Yeah, this one, but I figured, you know, we talk about the Sbarro wine. I should show you guys at least this is what it looks like. And like I said, honestly, 2.6 out of 5.
It says it's from Italy. That impresses me.
Impressive, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like they didn't try, like, you know, they didn't want to make a super fancy wine. The price, $22, they just wanted to put out a wine, you know. They weren't going for the top of the line.
So I know this. Okay, again, I'll put my pinky out here. So I know this because I'm out here in California, and you know I have a lot of friends and family involved in like the wine industry out here. So there's a bunch of companies, as you can imagine, a lot of people make wine, mm-hmm. and they will, you know, they'll have like, okay, here's our signature stuff, and then they'll just have a bunch of leftover stuff. So there's companies that their job is purely just going around and picking up all the leftover wine, and then they will just, they'll like, okay, I have this many gallons of table red from Italy. Who wants to buy it? And like, they will connect with brands like Sbarro here. So that's, I would not be surprised if this is you know, the brainchild of some kind of situation like that. Again, not bad. And it's kind of like, oh, Sbarro is going to, I mean, because that's the thing. Like, Sbarro's are, have you guys ever seen a Sbarro outside of a mall?
I don't think so. It may be an airport, but other than that, right. Nah.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Oh, well, in The Office, on the episode where Michael goes to corporate, he says, oh, New York, got to stop at my favorite restaurant. And the camera pans, and he's walking to Sbarro's. That Sbarro's is outside of a mall.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking about just like, again, you know, pre-COVID liquor laws, where it's just like, I don't imagine anybody enjoying this, you know, fine table red at a, you know, in a mall, you know.
I would.
I would.
What better place to down some cheap wine than a food court?
You get a gumball afterwards.
To get that nasty Sbarro wine taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, you're like, man, I just drank a bunch of Orange Julius. How can I wash this down with? How about Sbarro wine? You know, but yeah, this is one. Oh, I just thought of another one. Hold on. You know about Adam Carolla's Mangria?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, you do.
It's a clever name, Mangria. We like puns.
So this was something.
We also don't like toxic masculinity, so I'm really torn here.
Okay, so this was another situation where I saw this at the grocery outlet, and can I zoom in here? Yeah. So Adam Carolla's Mangria. Got the A. You got a card in the background. You know, he's the ace, I guess. But yeah, this was a like pre-made sangria thing, and myself and another one of the hosts, we saw it and we're like, oh man, what is this? Let's get. And it was like $3, so we're like, screw it. What do we have to lose? So we get it and we try it. And this stuff was like Four Loko level bad.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Four Loko level bad. And it's, I mean, I have a pretty high tolerance for stuff that doesn't taste great or in like, and I really try not to just waste food, but this was something where I was like, oh my God, this is nasty. It was so gross. So I don't know why this just came to me, but let's look at some reviews here. Oof. One star from 6 years ago. How bad? Overly vinegar taste. If you'd like a cheap wino drink, then this is for you. No, I do not recommend this product.
Put it in the brown paper bag and lay on a bench.
See, I don't know. I guess I'm fucked up, but these bad reviews make me want to drink it. That sounds like my kind of wine.
Okay, better than wine. Okay, 5 stars. Better than wine. And does the job quicker. Can't wait to try the other two in the collection. Thanks, Corolla Drinks.
See, yes, UG9H, user UG9H, is really up my alley. Yeah, me and the other 7 people that found that one helpful.
I can say this is that this was it was not good. It was really not good. It's I mean, and that I don't know. That's the thing is that So I was trying to say the deep dive that we did on this because like we both were just like, I have not had something that bad in a long time. So we looked into it, and sure enough, it was a situation where the winery that was making it was like this like shell LLC winery company that was basically just dumping a bunch of their wine from a bunch of other stuff into this. They were literally just making like Pruno. They were just, you know, putting it in a vat, mixing it together, and then selling it as Adam Carolla's Mangria. It was when we found that, like, just us deep diving on Google, just we've just found the company and we're just like, oh my God, this is a company that just does this. It's like, oh boy, this is nasty. Like, ugh.
They Frankensteined it.
Ugh. Pretty much. These are two food. You know, this is some food things. The Mangria and the Sabora wine, they haven't been on the podcast, but these two things were part of our like catalyst of like, man, we should make a podcast here. Mm-hmm. So this is the last one I wanted to show you guys because I thought this has been on my Instagram feed a lot lately. So that's what I call dad rock.
Let me see the track list. Now. Now.
Yep. The Now CDs. It's 3 CDs. And where's the track?
They don't have the track list. Amazon. Good for nothing. Bezos, what are you doing?
There's
a couple of great reviews. All right.
We will rock you, Queen. With or without you, YouTube, Radioactive Imagine. Yeah, they're there's Nickelback. Rockstar, they nailed it. They got Meatloaf. Yep.
Boston.
Sprint two, Doctors.
Two princes.
That's great.
Yeah. How to save a life is dad rock? What?
Yeah, dad loves that shit, dude. If your dad's saying he doesn't love How to Save a Life, he's lying to you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Ace of Spades. But I like Mr. Brightside by The Killers, but then Ace of Spades by Motorhead. Like, what?
I don't think Mr. Brightside belongs on there. That's a miss. That's a millennial anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a dad rock. Like, there are dad rock songs, and there are not. And this is a... Final Countdown, totally.
All the Small Things is dad rock. There's some misses on here. Stacy's mom?
Yeah.
Maybe I can see that. I can see a dad.
There She out. Goes is not dad rock.
No, dad.
Exactly.
Oh, there she goes. Dads fucking go off. Yeah. For that.
Complicated by Avril Lavigne. Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
They're waiting for us to be dads for this to be dad rock.
This just sounds like a lot. They threw in some. Oh, that license for that song is cheap. Let's snatch that up.
Yeah, there's just some. I never heard of this Buck Rogers by Feeder, but I just imagine this is a total butt rock song. And then there's like this, and then with like the Lumineers, like Hey Ho, and it's like, come on, like really, like this, like don't you forget about me. Yeah, like, this is like, I feel like this was aggregated by like a Pandora playlist.
This is the same people who threw all the stuff together to make the Mangria. They just took a bunch of crap. Some good stuff, but there's some crap. And
yeah. Bedrock should be bad. There should be a lot of crap in this blender.
Yeah, so got a few reviews here. So I posted them. I copied them. I copied them ahead of time here. Here's one. 3 out of 5 stars, and the title: Not All That It Appears. Songs are edited clean versions. Editing is not smooth, so listening experience is disruptive and unpleasant. For example, Nickelback's Rockstar is butchered. Other examples are present throughout. Sorry, but can't recommend this varied collection of music that looks great as listed.
On one hand, I know dads be liking to hear the swear words.
They like to cuss.
They like to cuss. They like to hear cusses. On the other hand, I really would love to hear that destroyed version of Nickelback. Any song that a Nickelback fan declares, any mix of their track that is declared like broken, I want to hear that version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But sorry, but can't recommend. But he gave it 3 out of 5 stars.
That's like a passing grade.
But that's the thing. Like you said, that's passing. So how can he recommend a passing? I don't know. But this is just my college brain, you know, coming out of being like, huh? What? No, that can't do that.
If we start asking these questions of these reviewers, our podcast would just be me and Matt like hitting each other with mallets.
Yeah. I feel that. Another one here. 2 out of 5. Get a streaming service. The title of the review.
Oh, sorry, that was an epic burn.
Exactly. Get a streaming service. I bought it from my dad. I have Amazon Music. 2 out of 5 stars. Like,
that's okay. Awesome.
He's rubbing Amazon's back.
There's a lot of like motivations for why you might want to help write a review, like to help people, to blow off some steam. That one was just like spite for boomers. That was pure boomer spite in review form.
Exactly. So here's the last one. I feel like this is a good one to end off on a high note here. 4 out of 5 stars. Review is titled "Whoa." So channeling some Blossom here, Joey Lawrence. Mm. I was out back grilling, and this compilation came on and knocked off my cargo shorts.
Can't argue with that. Straight from the dad's mouth.
Yeah, straight from the dad's mouth. This one's recent. This is from January 26, 2021.
Wearing cargo shorts? He doesn't live around here, obviously.
I was going to say, even here in California in January, like it's been raining a lot. So I don't know. Where this dude is living. So, but yeah,
dads that don't care.
Exactly. But yeah, guys, that's wanted to come on and share some new shit that I've seen recently.
Listen, so. I've been hustling the internet. I've been out there prospecting the internet for golden reviews, and I know it's not easy. And you gave us some wonderful gems today. Yes. So much respect, sir.
I appreciate it, guys. Honestly, just going through this was just super fun because I'm just always looking for food that's going to probably taste bad. So this was a good, you know, different. By the way, when it doesn't taste bad, I'm always happy. It's just like, I can't tell you how happy we all are when we actually try something that's good, you know? So, but yeah, this was a lot of fun, guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me come on. And, you know, shoot the shit with you guys.
Yeah.
So, of course. Where can the people out there find you?
So we are on Instagram at Grocery Gamblers Pod. We're on all of the streaming platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple, the other ones.
wherever podcasts are found, you might say.
Exactly. We're out there. We did our due diligence to get on the big ones. We're not on Amazon. But that's a conscious decision for roasted. Other reasons. Yeah,
you called out Bezos. Exactly. You're not safe here, buddy.
But yeah, guys, seriously, thank you. You know, like, Brett, Matt, thanks for having me on, guys. This is a lot of fun.
No,
and keep up the good work. I love the stuff. But no, guys, seriously, thanks for having me on. This was fun.
And we're back after that seamless transition. We want to say thanks again to Pete. That was a lot of fun. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say it's time. We got to dive right into the plug end of the pool and we're going to uncork it. Okay? Okay, let's go.
Yeah, we came to you with an interview. We came to you with wild content. Now you got to come to us and listen to these damn plugs. First of which, it's always so funny. I always mock animosity towards the audience, and then the first plug is always thank you, audience. Thank you, listener. Can't thank you enough for listening to our show. We hope you had a laugh this week, as always. And speaking of week, the day of the week that this podcast drops is Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you there listening on the cutting edge of comedy content. And hey, if you want to be a part of that cutting edge, you know, get ahead of the curve, the edge, the curve, the precipice. Send us an email containing a wacky review in it, and we'll make some jokes about it. I tell you what, send that email over to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name because we'd love to give you credit.
We love to give you content too. And if you want more of that stuff, you can find us on the social medias, on Twitter @ReviewPartyPod, on Instagram @ReviewParty.com. Just check those things out. There's some funny stuff being thrown out into the atmosphere. If you want more organized stuff, then go to the website, reviewparty.com. You can read the blog, where there are review tangential blog posts written. There's the store, and there is the After Party Review newsletter sent out once a week to say, hey, what's up? Here's the new stuff. Check it out.
Check it out. What's it all about? Nosebleeds. You made our theme song, work this, bread for breakfast out. Nosebleeds, our buddies, our friends, our beautiful Midwestern Wisconsin compadres, let us use their song, Bread for Breakfast, for our theme song. The show wouldn't be the same without it. Mm-mm. Go check them out on Spotify, Nosebleeds, one word. Hey, we got a special surprise for you folks. This is a little Valentine's Day gift from us. We got two closers, because Matt and I both got one, and we both want to do them, so...
Season of love.
The season of love, baby. Let's spread the love. I'll go first. I'll give mine. It's a quick one. This is a review for Brax Tiny Conversation Hearts.
Aww.
From Amazon. User Happy writes, titles the review, I like them. I purchased them twice. They write, nothing to say. Personal preference, 5 stars.
What? Okay. All right. I love it. I have an Amazon review for the Valentine's Day movie, Valentine's Day. User John O. apostrophe. He's Irish, but we don't know his full last name. Titles his review, 1 star. He also gives it 1 star. Spoiler. And he writes, my wife tricked me. I guess he didn't like it.
Or maybe he liked it. Maybe she said he wouldn't like it and he loved it.
Yeah,
what a twist.
That's married life.
That's married life for you. Speaking of married life, I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
See you next time, guys. Take it easy.